But let me begin today with words of sympathy for the family of former First Lady Barbara Bush. Most decent human beings mourn the loss of anybody's life, but there are still a number of vicious, destructive people who celebrate the death of anyone they don't agree with. And we saw that happen again on the internet as the Bush family and the entire nation mourned the loss of the life of Barbara Bush. Rhonda Jarrar is a black liberal English professor at Fresno State University. She took the opportunity to attack Barbara Bush and the entire Bush family. Among other disgusting things, she called Barbara Bush a racist witch. She called for the entire Bush family to die. It was a hate-filled diatribe that lasted at least 5 minutes and included obscenities. This despicable woman felt safe in voicing her racist message because she has tenure at Fresno State. She claimed that she could not be fired because of that tenure and bragged about how much money she makes at Fresno State. At first, Fresno State remained silent, but the outcry from the public across this country has forced them to reevaluate their need for this sad excuse for a human being. Rhonda Jarrar is supposed to be in a classroom teaching young students. Instead, she's indoctrinating young minds with hateful, racist rhetoric. She is the ideal example of a racist calling someone else a racist. No teacher should be exempt from the consequences of their hate speech. Fresno State should not have to be forced into firing this woman. They should have done it immediately after she spouted out her death wishes for others. The educational system needs to re-examine tenure for teachers. There are laws in place to protect a teacher's right and free speech without a guarantee of their job when they clearly should not be in a classroom teaching children. Now, Congress needs to deal with the assaults on liberty that special investigators like Robert Mueller use for witch hunts. What began with liberal Democrats falsely leveling accusations about collusion against Russia and Donald Trump has morphed into scandal sheet tabloid accusations of a possible 12-year-old consensual encounter between two consenting adults. Donald Trump and a porno participant named Stormy Daniels. Trump denies the accusation. Trump's attorney apparently paid the porn star $130,000 not to go public with her accusation just days before the presidential election. Dishonest Democrats questioned why she was paid if her story was not true. Think about that. This seedy woman's mere accusation 11 days before the election would have given Democrats and the fake news media all the ammunition they needed to paint the worst picture of Trump in the public's mind. She was glad to grab the money and run until a seedy attorney and liberal Democrats convinced her that she could take much more money coming back for another bite of the apple. This is how low politics have sunk in America. Even if Trump and this porno actress had a one-night consensual relationship 12 years ago, it does not rise to the level of news. Donald Trump has every right to be angry at Attorney General Jeff Sessions for recusing himself in the Russia investigation. Sessions is a decent man, but he was clearly naive to the ways of liberal Democrats. They pressed him to recuse himself, and Sessions thought it wouldn't matter, so he complied. Democrats immediately set about to put anti-Trump Justice Department officials in place to undermine the president. FBI head James Comey violated the law by leaking confidential information to a friend of his who he knew would give it to a reporter. Comey must face prosecution. And that led to a takeover of the FBI by Rob Rosenstein, who immediately put Robert Mueller, best friends with Comey and Rosenstein, in charge of a Trump-Russia collusion. After more than a year, and at the expense of hundreds of millions of taxpayers' dollars, Mueller and his band of anti-Trump Democrats have produced no evidence of such a collusion. In fact, Comey's recently released memos of his meetings with Trump show clearly that Donald Trump encouraged Comey to identify anyone from his campaign who was colluding with Russia. So what now? They take their witch hunt into the porno film industry, and the accusation by a seedy porno performer and her lowlife attorney, who says she and Trump had a one-night consensual relationship more than a decade ago. That's news? What is news is that the porno actress and her attorney, who has deep ties to Democrats like Rahm Emanuel, are being handsomely rewarded to keep this ridiculous charade in the news. The truth is that Jeff Sessions was snookered by a devious Democratic Party. If he even considered recusing himself from the Russia question, he should have told Trump before Trump entrusted him with the title of Attorney General. Once Sessions took a back seat, Trump was helpless against the onslaught of James Comey, Rob Rosenstein, Loretta Lynch, Barack Obama, Lisa Page, and Peter Strzok, and other underhanded participants in forming Mueller's witch hunt. Sessions should immediately resign and let the president appoint a new attorney general. In all fairness, there should be a special investigator appointed to look into how this Trump-Russia collusion fiasco was initiated and who did it. Hillary Clinton's obstruction of justice in destroying email evidence that she knew had been subpoenaed by Congress, the Democratic National Committee, the Clinton Foundation, all should be investigated. If there is justice left in this country, that investigation will soon begin. Now, the liberal progressive movement is trying to remove historical statues and judge people who lived more than 100 years ago by today's standards. It's asinine and destructive to the country. Human beings are just that. They're human beings, subject to mistakes, misjudgment, and yes, evil. Liberals would have us believe, for instance, that the Native American tribes were somehow better than the settlers who followed them. But just like all of mankind, the Indians warred against one another, and long before the white settlers moved in. One of my favorite places in America is the Black Hills of South Dakota. It was sacred to the Lakota Sioux tribe and the site of recent protests of land desecration by white people. By protesting whites, that lets off the hook the Buffalo Soldiers. They were black cavalrymen, and they helped to conquer the West. While it is absolutely true that the U.S. government broke treaties and stole the Black Hills from the Lakota Sioux tribe in the 1870s, few people know that the Lakota Sioux had stolen the Black Hills from the Cheyenne, and the Cheyenne had stolen that land from the Kiowa tribe. All of that nose-rubbing and snuggle bunnies on the North American continent before whites and blacks showed up. The famous cliff houses of Mesa Verde is another example. Why did the ancestral Pueblo people of the Canyon Country start building these remote, hidden, fortress-like dwellings in the 1200s after having lived in the open for 600 years? It's because they were being preyed upon by another warlike Indian culture with cannibalistic behavior, living nearby in Chaco Canyon. What looks like a hidden fortress is in fact a hidden fortress. The only factor keeping these Indian tribes from annihilating one another was that they neither had the numbers nor the technology to accomplish that grim task. To this day, there are Indian tribes who bear grudges against one another. The Crow and the Sioux are one example. The Shoshone and the Cree tribes had no use for the Blackfeet. The fact is, Native Americans engaged in wars for land, for resources, for slaves, for religious reasons, for cultural reasons, and for every other reason that races and religions of the world go to war. When the Europeans began colonization, many Indian tribes demanded the Europeans enter military alliances with them in exchange for trade. For example, just as the English and French hated one another, the Iroquois and the Huron hated one another. So the English and Iroquois formed a centuries-long alliance against the French and the Hurons. The Native Americans actually tended to be more brutal than the Europeans, often engaging in casual warfare against civilians, torturing prisoners to death, and otherwise engaging in conduct that, by European standards, had started to fall out of favor by the later colonial period. Despite people commonly romanticizing the Native Americans, they were just normal human beings like you would find anywhere else on Earth, with the same virtues and the same sort of vices and motivations as anybody else. Many tribes had sworn enemies that they warred against all of the time. Other times they attacked one another for hunting territory, slaves, wives, and food. Once the Europeans introduced horses and guns, the tribes attacked one another for horses and guns. The animal rights activists and environmentalists should use the same condemnation on the Native Americans as they do for people today. Indian hunting parties drove herds of buffalo off cliffs for food and furs. They had to move camps often because their horses and human waste made the camp unusable in short order. They were not exactly environmentally friendly. If we are to hold Europeans to task for the way they lived 100 years or more ago, we have to stop romanticizing Native Americans. And while on the subject of human behavior, we need to consider the various groups that gather, march, and dictate to the rest of us. Society has, for too long, allowed these groups to dominate the conversation when they know little or nothing about the workings of the world. We start with Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg. These two teenagers survived the school shooting in Parkland, Florida, thank God. A shooting that was carried out by another teenager, just as almost all mass school shootings have involved shooters aged 14 to 20. These shootings are not carried out by adults, but by other kids. And still, a skin-headed Emma Gonzalez and a foul-mouthed David Hogg are being treated like enlightened seers by the fake news mainstream media. Anyone who dares question the motives or character of these two teens is attacked from the left. David Hogg has been turned down for admittance by at least 4 universities. When Laura Ingraham wondered about that on her Fox News program, young Hogg took the fake news media to demand that people boycott Ingraham's sponsors. A few sponsors had a knee-jerk reaction and withdrew their ads from the program. Now, many people are boycotting those sponsors who followed Hogg's directive to boycott Ingraham. Laura Ingraham is a commentator. She has just as much right or more to free speech as a foul-mouthed teenager. The left is far too quick to attempt to shut down speech that does not fit their agenda. These types of protests by leftists offer no answers to problems. Gonzalez and Hogg have no suggestions on how we stop teenage shooters from invading our schools other than more gun laws. People bent on harming others with a gun, a knife, a bat, or a runaway vehicle pay no attention to laws. Those who are responsible for holdups, home invasions, and drive-by shootings will not abide by any gun law that might be passed. Only law-abiding people are affected by gun laws. Why is that so hard for liberal America to understand? exactly what new gun laws do they propose? And what do we do about the hundreds of millions of guns already owned by American people? A true liberal calls for confiscating those guns. Can you imagine the carnage if government tried to go house to house, taking the only real protection and security away from lawful gun owners? One of the reasons America has never been invaded by our enemies across the world is because of the firepower that resides among millions of us. The Germans feared to invade us. The Japanese feared to invade us. Russia and China have no desire to invade America, not just because of our military strength, but because there would be a patriotic gun behind every blade of grass. If America falls, it will not come from outside. It will come from those on the inside who are determined to destroy us. Some of those enemies inside our country are devious and planned. Others are naive liberals. So how do they destroy us? By dividing and conquering. Keep animosity and suspicion between blacks and whites, men and women, Democrats and Republicans, adults and children, rich and poor. Attack white America as privileged and demand diversity in place of merit. Just recently, the rap artist Jay-Z came on television to talk about white privilege. Jay-Z is married to Beyoncé, and they have a net worth of hundreds of millions of dollars and control a record empire. Both are black. Now, I doubt that any white person listening to me today is worth hundreds of millions of dollars or controls a record empire. So much for white privilege. Diversity, multiculturalism, and political correctness are being sold to us as something that will bring unity, but whose real purpose is to separate us and alter forever the great experiment, a free country of unified Americans. The Washington Times reported that New York City cut out their gifted program. Why? Because it lacked diversity and was helping mostly whites, because the whites were the only ones who qualified. How can we say we are still America when white people who are eligible for gifted educations cannot receive it simply because their skin is white? Multiculturalism in this country is greatly flawed. We are inviting people who want to come for the entitlements, and they are heavily represented by the uneducated. Another problem is that these people are coming here from countries that are fascist states. They are not encouraged to meld into our society, but rather to maintain their prior conflicts with American society. They come here to make America into the same hellhole they left, or to live off of entitlements. Our government actually advertises the food stamp program we have in Mexico. One of the most grievous offenses is the segregation of Hispanic Americans from other Americans. They are given their own separate category and have been made to feel that they will always be Hispanic and should wear that badge proudly. If that is how they feel, why not stay in their own home country? We are now doing the same with Asians. The desire to add the Lunar New Year to the New York City calendar is a direct attempt to separate us. Communist Chinese are setting up enclaves in America that are not at all like Chinatown. They are not interested in becoming Americans. Muslims are also being encouraged to exist as they did in their native country with closed communities. Racism in America goes unchecked. Only this time, it is bigotry directed at folks with white skin. There's also a radical element here that's attacking heterosexual people as opposing those with alternative lifestyles. The goal of all of this is achieving power for special interests. Under the banner of diversity, demands are being made on college campuses, ranging from safe spaces for minorities to enhancing the grades of minorities who are victims of so-called white supremacy. On the political front, reparations for slavery is the goal. Cash payments to blacks for the suffering of their ancestors. History records the actions of black Africans who practiced slavery long before the United States came into being. They raided other tribes to find wives, to capture weapons and supplies. They raided other tribes and took slaves to sell to the emerging European slave trade. Are we now to demand reparations from the ancestors of these slave traders? As awful as it was, blacks were not the only people enslaved in our world. In fact, far more white Europeans were enslaved than blacks. But if you oppose the anti-white movement, you instantly have committed a microaggression against non-white people, and of course, you must, for that, be punished. The United States, as it stands now, is in trouble. We have lost due process in the public arena. Standards of journalism have collapsed, and aggressive racism is accepted and even encouraged on many college campuses. We are a deeply divided people. Our grievance is growing, and so is hatred for each other. That hatred is evident in Democrats and their fake news allies and their dogged pursuit to undermine the presidency of Donald Trump. While it is in the best interest of America for any president to succeed, it is not in the best interest of those to whom political power is paramount. After many years of anti-black policies, America has finally developed a system where racism against minorities can be responsibly confronted. It's not perfect, but it's usually effective. However, to demonize and accuse based upon a contrived white supremacy narrative is a display of staggering injustice. And there isn't an antidote for that, or even a public outcry. This kind of nonsensical drivel has taken deep root on many college campuses and is being actively peddled as fake, or rather as fact, by a fake news media. College administrators, for their part, are paralyzed with fear over racial attacks, not wanting to be branded a racist themselves. So let me ask you this, whether you are white or black, how many mornings each week do you get up determined to practice racism against people of a different color? My guess is that the number of people, black or white, who say they get up anti-white or anti-black are almost non-existent. We will always have racists and bigots among us, blacks and whites, but we should not let that small minority of rabble-rousers cause us to divide from one another. Let me give you an example of what I'm speaking. David Duke is a white man with Ku Klux Klan ties who is always trotted out as a boogeyman. Now, I have no problem calling David Duke out as a racist, but when the shoe is on the other foot, black America and the fake news media do have a problem with calling out even America's number one racist and bigot, Louis Farrakhan. This devilish man has called for 10,000 black men to come forward and kill white people. David Duke has never called for such a savage act against blacks. Then we have Al Sharpton, a true racist. David Duke is not reported to owe taxes to the government, but Al Sharpton owes the IRS millions of dollars that goes unpaid and shows no sign of ever paying his rightful share for our economy. Can you imagine David Duke, or you, or I, owing the IRS millions and being allowed to ignore it? I am in no way glorifying David Duke. I'm simply pointing out the hypocrisy. The fake news media is totally hypocritical. Why is it not racist to have a congressional black caucus in Congress where only members with black skins are welcome? Why can black women compete in the Miss America pageant and win, while white women are barred from the Miss Black America pageant? Why is it fair to have a National Association of Colored People, but racist to consider a National Association of White People? Can we not see the obvious hypocrisy? A study called The Downside of Diversity showed that the greater the diversity in a community, the fewer people vote, and the less they volunteer, the less they give to charity or work on community projects. In the most diverse communities, neighbors trust one another about half as much as they do in other settings. The study, the largest ever on civic engagement in America, found that virtually all measures of civil health are lower in more diverse settings. Still, the diversity peddlers rarely, if ever, tell us about the downside. Have we now come to a place in our lives where one must toe the line or not be allowed to think or speak at all? The truth is, the diversity movement in America has problems, and those who tout it must acknowledge them now, before this concept makes us all less free, less honest, less educated. College campuses are less tolerant than ever before. Real debate and dialogue suffers. One of the ironies of this drive for civility is that you increase yourself in encouraging incivility, because people don't know anymore how to argue. They don't know what to do when confronted with an idea they don't like, so they just try to shout it down. They haven't been taught any other way, either at home, at school, or on college campus. Shouting matches are all too often the order of the day on the same campuses that embrace diversity. Conservative speakers are often not invited to campus, or else they're attacked and shouted down once they get there. In fact, almost all protests that interrupt or shout down speakers are generated by left-wing groups like Code Pink. Too often, "I don't like" is translated into speech that should be outlawed. People who hold traditional views on marriage or other issues are wrongly dismissed as bigoted and homophobic. Too many liberals believe that we will all come around to their views eventually if they continue the pressure. Unfortunately, too many teachers today use the classroom for indoctrination rather than education. But most disturbing, in the light of the diversity initiatives, are students who view others who disagree with them as sick, evil, or homophobic. Liberals might try to make the countercharge that conservatives believe they are sick and in need of being cured. However, most conservatives seek to persuade liberals, not cure them. Here is what we do know. The diversity movement is not only deeply flawed, it is also far from a harmless ethos with no consequences for our culture, our values, or our institutions. It is time to acknowledge that diversity often results in the opposite of what it so loudly proclaims, a closed-off world that stifles debate, learning, and mutual respect of us all.